Blog Talk Radio.
Good. Thank you. I just decided to shake us a little bit with a little soft playing in the background, James Brown, and hopefully next week it will be actually coming through the this platform right here. Good morning and welcome back, Mr. Anthony Scott, and welcome everyone to Our Black News. It's morning. Saturday morning. It has to be the 10th of October. We have Halloween in about 21 days, and what are the kids going to do? Are they going to go trick-or-treating, or is that going to be against social distancing? I'd like to introduce my co-host, Jonathan Mason, out there, Mason Live, in front of the state capitol the other day, had some police officers petrified, and Mr. Anthony Scott, a publisher, doing a lot of different book work here in the Twin Cities. What's up, guys? How you doing?
Ben, how are you doing, Don?
Man, I can't call it. There's so much going on, man, and people are not listening like they used to listen. So we just have to figure out, you know, what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. But other than that, Anthony, what's up? Pixel Man right now. So
it looks like pixels are a bit down, but real quick to catch out what you talked about.
Go ahead, please.
We had a week, obviously, there is the major things that have been happening within our community. You know, obviously Derek Chauvin is out on bond. He is able to leave the state of Minnesota,
yep,
which we've never seen this for an individual who has committed murder, especially on camera. And so right now you see the uptake in protests, you see the uptake in people feeling emotional because we know that, you know, obviously we have constitutional rights to speak out against these justices, but now, you know, we have police and others who are a little afraid, and they don't know what's next. And in our community, we're saying enough is enough. We have to now lead the way, because if we continue with the status quo, it's going to become very violent. And, you know, that's, regular protesters, this is for citizens, but not only that, it's going to get violent between police and protesters. The first night when we heard the news of the bond being granted, police arrested about 100 and some people.
Wow.
And so, what does that look like going forward? And, mm-hmm. You know, what does Halloween look like? I would ask.
Okay. And it just seems, you know, I was shocked when I read that article that Chauvin was released and he's actually moving, you know, out of state. I understand the safety issue, the safety piece is important, but this is unprecedented. Never really heard of anything like this before happening. And now I'm worried.
Yeah, but why are they allowing him to leave?
And see, that's something that I have not read that deep, and I don't think, you know, you can always go to the newspaper and look at stuff, but I like to read actually court documents if they're available online. And so I need to do that because I know they're worried about the safety, but it seems like the feds have stepped in and put him in a witness protection kind of like program.
Right.
And, you know, the neighboring states – it could be California, New Mexico, Seattle, Denver, you know, Florida. It could be they could send him anywhere. He could go anywhere. So, but
they could have him out on a golf course.
Yeah,
they could have him out on a golf course somewhere. They could have. I mean, he should be in custody. He should not be able to leave. That's what the court said. But I don't what the rationale is. You're saying, Don, it's just for his safety.
Yeah,
that's why he's allowed to leave the state.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, you know, for his safety and to make sure that he is not, you know, harmed in any way, shape, or form. Because they're telling, you know, I'm seeing that, you know, all these some of these kind of crazy posts that, I mean, I understand you're innocent till you're proven guilty, but how many times are you going to do a videotape, you know, and see the whole thing go down? So go ahead.
And for me, I personally think that we're in uncharted territory, not only as Black Americans, but Americans as a whole, because those who created the law, when they said due process and all this different jargon within our Constitution and our laws, they weren't expecting us to be able to lie to and videotape murders live. And now we're being able to see the killer. Many times, court, and you say you didn't do it or you're not guilty for murder, and they don't have you on camera, they have circumstantial evidence. It's, you know, obviously due process is needed for the jury of your peers to, you know, figure out all the clues, the information, the circumstances to be able to figure out what needs to be done as far as justice. But now we have video cameras, videotapes that can be uploaded simultaneously to the web, and now you have obviously clear outrage when you see a person like George Floyd, who's on his neck with handcuffs in his back, with four men on top of him begging for his mother, and peeing on himself, and a guy with his hands in his pocket murdering him. And, you know, we can go back and forth and say, well, you know, he was just doing his job and stuff like that, but let me sit on your neck for 10 minutes with your hands cuffed behind your back on your larynx and on the back of your neck where your neck is broke.
Yeah.
And it's not going to work. So we know right from wrong, and us as leaders of our community must stand up and say enough is enough. We don't need violence or vigilante justice, but we do need a system that understands that when technology catches these crimes, we have to expedite the process.
Yeah. And so with that said, you know, I don't know about you guys, but when I think about all of the police officers there, the Lane and the other guy, the brother there, and the Asian American guy, police officer, it's like I'm feeling that one or two of them are going to walk, if not three. And they're going to all point to figure. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I'm seeing is that they're actually trying to turn the tables on this. They're using things like saying the media is coming out and saying, well, the murder of George Floyd, which is what it was. But they're saying that that taints his ability to get a fair trial because they're using the media, and you see the news reports, and they say what it is. It's a murder. He murdered the man right in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
But by saying that, they're trying to flip the script on it and say, well, he can't get a fair trial because he needs to be convicted of a murder before he's actually a murderer. But we saw it, as Jonathan was saying. We actually saw it happen. I looked at that, and I still, to this day, that was one of the most heinous things that I happened to just go on Facebook that day, and I saw this man leaning on this brother's neck, and I'm like, am I looking at this live, or what in the heck is going on? And he's just as nonchalant. Yeah, and you could see this man begging, and then you could see the man actually go limp right under the knee then. I mean, he was dead to me right there.
What?
They picked him up, and they carted him onto the stretcher, but I believe he was, I mean, his body was lifeless.
Yeah, it was.
From what I saw.
Real quick.
It's
all right, go ahead, Jonathan. Go ahead.
3904. Again, that is 347-426-3904.
Yeah, thank you. And when you call in, you got to speak up loud so we can hear you, because there's a little bit of a delay, and we don't want to talk over you, and we want to make sure that we hear what you have to say. So, Jonathan, with all this stuff going on and the protests, the lively and well-organized, and I haven't – it's so nice to see – and I'm kind of going to get off the beaten track for a minute, but I need to compliment you and everybody, Mr. White, everybody involved in that, because I looked at that. I saw tombstones on the lawn. I saw these body bags. I saw coffin things, you know, all this work was put into this system to make to send a message.
Right.
And I think it scared the hell out of a lot of people, not only those cops and then the government, but some of people in our community that have been half-stepping for a long time.
He mobilized
yeah,
people. He
yeah.
mobilized. It was an organized, mobilized.
Yeah.
And when they saw in mass, and when they see that, well, yeah, they have to take notice.
Yeah, and I saw a couple posts on Facebook. People were like kind of, they were hating a little bit, and I just looked. I said, you know what? This is so well, or you can't say anything. You know, everybody's a critic when they don't like it, right? Or if they didn't think of the idea. But this was like set off so professionally that the Republicans are going to have to like this protest, okay? Bottom line.
You know what? It on the same point. You know, when we thought about putting this, you know, we had the Red Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear me?
Yep.
When we put washable paint throughout the city of downtown that represented the blood and also the rose petals, we knew that that effect was major. So when we said we had the Secret March, we wanted to have black women. So, you know, we let the masterminds of our black women within our community put a lot of the natural together. You know, I was being Royce for right
now.
Okay, that's Anthony Scott. Just a minute. We'll get back to Anthony in a second when he, because Anthony, I'm just going to tell you, you're kind of bitmapping a little bit, and it shows your signal at 2 bars. Okay, and when it climbs up, I'll plug it back in here. But anyway, yeah, it was, that looked like a serious effort. And so you guys, let me ask this question. Now, this is the beautiful thing about it. When it was all over, all your people grabbed all the assets out there and took them back to storage, right?
Well, we grabbed the majority of the things we wanted to keep. We left the body back. the front lawn of the
yeah, that's what I'm saying. This old boy, this dude that I know is flying a drone, he duoed me and said, look, man, they left them body bags on the city capitol because he had a drone flying. I was rolling.
God, mm-hmm. We're trying to get that not optically not by people. But, you know, when you hear people like Malcolm X, who said, by all means necessary,
mm-hmm.
ethics and production is one of those things I believe we can implement within this fight for justice. And like I said, we know right from wrong. Once we get, this situation with law enforcement handled,
yeah,
whatever it is, what we're dealing with, now we'll be able to now take it up a notch and now focus in on our community. A lot of people seen probably my other life when I went to the site of where the 3 kids who stole the vehicle got you.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And unfortunately, obviously when things like this happen, people do lose their lives. But what was so crazy about this whole situation was prior to these kids dying, these same individuals, I just got to confirm, these 3 kids, they actually stole one of my friends, her name was Latasha Boyd, her vehicle. And she
what?
Called me at 2 o'clock. Yeah, they were, her vehicle was in front of the Soho downtown Minneapolis, right off of Washington, and she ran in to go grab her food, and when she came out, her car was stolen and all the items. Well, the kids went to Target. They tried to do a purchase for $200 on her card, but she canceled the card. While she was running around, Latasha was furious. She was calling everybody. She was going around the city trying to find something. She got to Target early, and one of the security guards, he didn't want to. He said, get the guy, we need to pull up the camera to see who did this crime, who stole my vehicle. And the guy there didn't want to help him. And right there, I want to pinpoint, that was the breakdown on of many things. These kids, if they were caught that day when they stole Latasha Boyd's charges, the red charges, and the police would have handled it, they wouldn't have not been killed the next day. Or 2 days later,
yeah,
we're still in another vehicle. And breakdowns, when I'm fighting for justice on every single level, mm-hmm. I'm trying to save the lives of children. And these children were the same type of kids like me, and maybe you guys as well. But when I was a young kid, sure, I stole a car. I even stole a police car one time. When I was 13 years old, I stole a police car. Now, he shouldn't have never let me in the car, but he knew if he left the keys, and all the kids in the neighborhood see me, I had the sirens going on, I had speakers going on. And when the cops said, Jonathan, what are you doing? He didn't tell on me. Because he didn't want to get caught. But I was one of those kids.
Mm-hmm.
And now look at I'm fighting for justice, mm-hmm. and I'm doing all these things, and I want this for our children as well. Breakdowns in our society, whether it's in law enforcement, whether it's in security, these types of things happen. So I really want everybody to take their job seriously.
Okay.
You know, And whether it's law enforcement, whether it's a teacher, you are in charge of youth and their futures. Little do you know.
Okay, we have go ahead, and then we have a live caller. He's been on hold for a minute, but go ahead, Anthony.
Well, I was just going to say real quickly, I wanted to ask Jonathan real quickly. Jonathan, have you ever thought about running for office? Have you ever really thought about getting to a point of actually running for office? Like, for example, I think Don and I were talking about it, maybe the city council. You ever thought about that?
I have.
Or do you think you can do? Or do you think you can? Or do you think you can do more, as you're doing now in the streets? You and your 10K with Royce. I mean, this is phenomenal, and I think it could lead to something even bigger. I know it will. I know it will, and I'm on board.
Yeah, I think that it is time for me to start inquiring about those things. City council right now, I'm not police chief. Or a mayor. So, and I've thought about mayor, but I'm not going to be told to an Ellison AG or a Wolf. So now I have to up to any. I'm too young to be a president of the United States, but I believe on the next election I'm able to actually run. And so I think I get enough pressure for the next year, maybe two or three, that I have the opportunity of a lifetime. Basically put my hat and name in for the presidency of the United States.
That's going to be deep because, you know, when you win, I'll be getting that call for chief of staff. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. 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 You know, I found out that Kanye West is on the ballot in Minnesota. And I wasn't really paying much attention on purpose because it's going to be a mess either way. And I just said, wow, this is very interesting. So now my hands are tied. But we have a caller who's been holding forever. And caller, you're live on Our Black News. I'm going to need you to speak up. But what's your question or comment?
Well, my comment is on those police tactics. Now, I have done some research, and I know that in Minneapolis that tactic has been used many times without any repercussions as far as death is concerned. But one has to also remember, you know, I hear phrases like police reform and so on and so on. With the number, the tens of thousands of police departments across the street, and not across the street, across the country, that's up to a municipality. It's a municipality's responsibility to make sure that whatever tactics that their employees use are within the bounds of safety, not only for the police officer and the citizen, but try to provide a reasonable way of constraining and apprehending a suspect. And I know that in the St. Louis area, you had a municipality bring that up, and they chose to continue the restraint, that type of restraint, but to add some precautions to it. And then it leads up to another thing, too, and I'm sure that y'all would agree, is that we have witnessed, and it probably have existed, but with the advent of this technology with cameras, you are witnessing a lot of individuals that has no respect for authority. And when you combine no respect for authority along with other problems that you have, then now a person who would have a simple job is presented with a warlike task. So that needs to be taught to young people.
That's understandable, and that seems to be the situation here in the Twin Cities. And I mean, you hit on a lot of things. I mean, this is not only family based, but it's education based, it's society based. And at what point did our youth and younger adults, you know, lose that respect? You know, and for authority, that disregard for authority. And I've heard so many times here in the Twin Cities, by the way, thank you for the call. I've heard so many times here in the Twin Cities that the someone had been shot because they felt disrespected by another person. And if you think about the significance of those words and that meaning for them, those individuals, that means that they had no negotiating skills, no, they went from cold to hot. And yeah, too quick, too soon. And when you go like that in the, you know, in our community, someone's going to get killed. If you feel that, you know, I stepped downtown, Princess Club, glam slam, you know, I'm in the bathroom and I'm just walking in trying to take a leak in the urinal, right? And it's tight. There's other guys in there. And I actually step on this guy. He's like 4'3". And I stepped on his red shoes. And he turned around like, mother, you know, I'm like, dude, I apologize. My mistake. Right. You know, my bad. Excuse me, sir.
A generational curse. I talk about this all the time in our own community that we have to address. I know the caller touched on the lack of respect. Like, we have right now it's a weird thing within our community. Sometimes, you know, even with this, they find disrespect or being disrespectful sometimes an honor or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy, man.
It's crazy. It's almost, it's like an oxymoron. But what I feel like is due to the lack of knowledge and this ignorance that's so prevalent in our community, we see this interactions amongst people that don't, you know, you look at somebody, and I go on the record, I'll tell everybody, when I see somebody and they're bugging me, I would say, hey, how you doing, buddy? Yeah, you have a good day.
You're wrong.
I used to be a hothead.
Yeah. Hey,
Used to be?
Okay. Oh yeah. We do have another caller here, guys. Let's see who this is. Let's bring him on. Caller, you're going to have to speak up. Welcome to Out of Black News. What's your name and what's your question?
Hi there, Megan
DeWine.
Helping hundreds of students take themselves well
back. Caller, 2192. Okay, never mind. I'm going to put that back on pause. Caller, 70.
Yeah, I know 21.
Yeah, I know that too now.
God, if I could
just a minute. We have another caller here.
I wanted to ask.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, hello.
Stand by, caller. Stand by.
Caller that called from St. Louis. I know he's probably not on now, but I happen to be in St. Louis when the Michael Brown incident happened. And Don, I actually called into the show with Ron and Don.
I remember.
In St. Louis when that happened. And so one of the things we were lamenting is that how they tore down the street. And one of the people I was with was so upset that they tore down. How could they tear down our rib joint? This is the best rib joint in St. Louis. How could they tear that down?
Yeah.
But what I wanted to ask the caller from St. Louis is, did that area ever come back? And that's what I'm worried about here in the Twin Cities. When I look at Lake Street, the areas that I grew up, where it looks like Beirut, where it looks like you see beans bent like licorice sticks. And I was wondering, in St. Louis, from what happened in these cities, does it ever come back?
No, they're not coming back.
No.
The north side, it looks like an absolute desert. There's not barely cup food, just barely
grown. The tent. It's a tent.
Basically. Yeah. Hey, we have another caller. Caller 7728. What's your question? What's your name and what's your question? Welcome to the show. Yes.
Yes. Hello.
Yes. Hello? You have to speak up a little bit louder, but go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, Don. You know, I'm the gentleman that called. You know, last year. You know, I called when I discussed, you know, closing the Central High School and what the benefits that Central High School did for the community here in the Central neighborhood, and that you'll never see again.
You're absolutely correct.
That's right. You'll never see again. You won't see, you know, you won't see Gary Hines again. You won't see Mary Merrill again. You're not going to see Prince again. You see, these are the things, and so many others. You're not going to see Bruce Berry, Ronnie Rose. You're not going to see that anymore. You're not going to see Karen Rogers anymore. You're not going to see these. And the point of my call is that I look around the South, particularly the South Side of Minneapolis, and I see signs. I see Minnehaha Academy. I see De La Salle. We're all in. Okay.
Yeah.
You had when we had the Minneapolis schools intact, people were not leaving the Minneapolis schools, going to the outer schools around. They were not doing. People
no, it
were not
it was
leaving
the other way around. Yeah. Okay, caller.
They
thank you
not.
For the call. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Real quick, if you guys remember, and I'm sure you do, when they had that incident where they found out the Minneapolis public schools were being racist or whatever the case may be, and they allowed kids to go out to different schools of their choice within Minneapolis, and they were able to get busing. Do you remember that? I'll get the name on that, but it was, I don't know what it was. It was like, you know, Northside kids could go to Cooper. They could go to, like, Armstrong or St. Louis
like
a, Park.
Like an open choice school
open choice
or something like that.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, so that's what contributed to, like, when kids like me, you know, I would know which Cooper. Like, most of the Northside kids went to Cooper and, you know, a surrounding suburb and not, you know, a Bachelor's Henry or North. So what happened was the populations of the kids left, and, you know, when you're in a better school, you don't want to go to a Henry, you don't want to go to a North. And then when North shut down, which is totally unacceptable, I don't know what happened, but we really seen the decline of students within the inner cities that wanted to go to the schools there. And does it, I think this is a systematic design in play, and we know it's some of the symptoms of gentrification. And so now, seeing that we do have Black leaders that are educated, that are ready to now create legislation, write up proposals, write ROI, and do perform us to ban these areas, we're going to have another situation on our hands where there's going to be another fight, because the more we become more aware or more conscious of what's going on, and we're bringing our assets together, our capital and stuff like that, we start to stay put in these other cultures trying to now take. And so whether that's St. Paul, you're going to start seeing a major push for Black businesses on the North Side. This goes totally against the gentrification plan.
Yeah.
So now there's going to be an issue. And what is that issue going to be, or what is that going to entail? I don't know, but I know that things like the
Upper Harbor, the Upper Harbor Terminal, yes.
Projects like that are going to be in jeopardy if they don't put Black businesses, people like you, me, on the job, what's going on, to see the community oversight. Because and get paid for it now. I wonder when I'm Terminal Harbor. I don't know. North Harbor Terminal.
Yes. Well, you're by the river. That's a gold mine. Matter of fact, Jonathan.
I want to be part of it. I want to be absolutely part of it. I want money out of it, and I want to give the money back to my community and build chains of revenue, fortune in the youth to get something to stop this school to prison pipeline.
Yep, and it's funny that you mentioned that. Caller, I'm going to get ready to get to you in 1 second here. We have a lot of people on hold right now. But last night I had Alan Chalupski on the last question, and it's very interesting. You know, he's running for office because Ray Dean did not get the DFL endorsement. The lady Esther, who was supposed to be here with us today, I call her Ms. Esther. She first confirmed and then got an email from her campaign person that communicated.
That's right.
And then she said, no, okay, I don't want to do it, and didn't say why. And so that was very interesting and disheartening at the same time. And so that Upper Harbor Terminal is a gold mine. But in North Minneapolis, in that particular ward, that 59B, you have all those downtown businesses, and then you have one of the second poorest neighborhood in the city. And they've never been able to balance that out, you know, short of saying, okay, we're going to divide this up and add another state representative for this north side area. And they haven't really done anything like that. So people like Ray Dean and people before him have been taxed to try to balance the interests of business and the interest of this very poor community. With that said, I'm going to go to this caller here, last four, 1972. And you need to speak up. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hello,
can you
caller.
Hear me?
Yes,
can
I can hear
me?
Yes.
How you doing? My name is Michael Holmes. I'm out of Red Wing, Minnesota. Grew up in South Minneapolis.
Okay.
And my question is, I want to get all you brothers' opinions on police advisory council. It's something that I helped get started here in town, and I'm just kind of up in the air about it, and I just want y'all's opinion on it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, from my experience, a police advisory council is functional when they have subpoena power, which means they can get a judge to sign off, to get a cop to come in front of them and answer any questions or undergo a citizen-based investigation. And I know however that looks is determined by the municipality and the powers that be, the city attorney in Red Wing, and there would have to be some citizen input. I think they function well in different state. I know Minneapolis and St. Paul have had their up and downs with these citizen advisory council things for police,
yeah,
government, whatever. And whenever the city has so much power, it's like when they're done with you, they just shut you down. So make sure I would say my best advice is make sure that your council has subpoena power, that you can subpoena people from the human rights, from anywhere to answer questions about citizens' concerns, not to ridicule, but to make inquiry. That's always a great thing.
Yeah, but
go ahead, Ann.
What I've seen on it is, you know, years ago we had a very effective one here in the Twin Cities with Ron Edwards, with a very effective board that was outspoken. But what it is the oversight becomes, perfunctory. They say that they have oversight, but they really don't want the citizen involved. They want you to come to the table, but then they want to make the decisions.
Yeah.
And so as long as the board itself has, as Don was saying, subpoena power and the actual ability to make decisions on these issues that come in with police brutality or whatever issues they're having with law enforcement, if they don't have any power, it becomes just pressure. And I think that's what you really need to, to stress, that you really need to have people on the board that have the power.
Yep, I would agree. And so, go ahead.
Real quick, I was going to say thank you, Michael Holt, for calling from I see he's been tuning in a lot to our the body cam. So what this does look like, though, Don, with the police advisory board, we need to see automatic body cameras anytime there is a complaint.
Mm-hmm.
You pull the body camera up, you get the officer to write a report on what happened. Also go and look at the report that was with the incident to compare and contrast the two. If there is issues, you bring them in and you go do a whole complete community review. an oversight meeting. But what I was going to also say is that until we attack arbitration,
yeah,
and take pride, that one thing I can tell you, take pride in Minneapolis. He's letting you guys know, you know, he's talking about the money. You went to his house, talked about abolish the police, try to make him do it. He ain't going to do it. We know that we cannot ban the police or abolish the police or whatever the case may be because there is crime.
Yeah.
And let me hold that on to that too. But what I'm saying is that if we can't attack arbitration, we're not going to go nowhere because they can always settle. Also, now, let's talk about this damn crime.
Yeah.
I'm surprised because we have more troops on the ground right now than ever. Okay. We had concerts downtown, but there was a major fight downtown.
Last night?
Last night, yeah, right in front of our third street. I got the video.
Oh, wow.
The fighting, jumping each other, the cars almost. The fact, no police around, the hell is everyone at? And I feel like I have to start going to take the lead on this shit, too. I'm going to leave with, but it's like, what in the world's going on, Don?
Yeah, it's been going on. Jonathan, you know what? We met on through social media first, and I've watched you do your stuff, and it's like it's historical because if you go back to 2005, 2009, it was boiling back then, and then it dies down for a minute, and then it sparks back up, and then the George Floyd incident didn't help anything at all whatsoever. And then this, now we're at an all-time, right before winter, and the politicians depend on winter to kind of quell some of the craziness that's going on in the street, not so many kids outside. But this is a winter where kids are doing distance learning. They're not even at school. And so what's going to happen? More, you know, more murder, more shootings in the snow. And I mean, it's crazy, but people aren't paying a whole lot of attention to what's actually happening with our kids with so much time on their hand. I know I made a post last night. I said, why don't you open the libraries or the parks or something? And
yeah,
folks are...
There's no
give them an outlet.
There's no plan for it. The leadership has not even addressed it. You got to focus totally on the kids. They're focused more in on trying to get the money to Southwest Minneapolis. They're not even worrying about the black kids over north. They know that by 18 years old, we're going to send their ass right to Oak Park, Stillwater, St. Cloud. They're going to be working, doing license plates, and building stuff for the private companies that contract through the prison. They know what they're doing. And now it's time for us to go on the record and say, you know what, Minneapolis, Don Allen, who have suggested multiple solutions for this violence force, and they don't reach out. We write proposals. They don't even get back to us. Write emails. Come on the show. They're not responding. What is going on? And I'm telling you guys, as a community activist, as a Minnesota leader, I'm about to start going to their house, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to start going to Andrea Jenkins and Felipe Cunningham and Jeremiah Ellison and protest outside your house and demand you guys do something right now.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be interesting.
Or guess what? Get opposition counsel.
Yeah. Go ahead, Anthony, and standby caller.
I think one of the other callers that called in that was talking about, you know, the demise of our schools here in Minneapolis. It's out. Southwest is, you're going to put Dewey Dinah. They have their own, they have taken away everything from the center of the city in Minneapolis. They take away the grade schools. And then the same thing.
You're breaking up a little bit, Anthony.
They took away the Great Lincoln School. They wanted to close North. North got down to the point where they only had 200 students.
Yeah, I remember that.
They had an automotive program.
Mm-hmm.
They had a communications program. And so this has been a long-standing thing. And what troubles me, though, is that we somehow have been complicit in this. I mean, at the time they closed Central, let's look at it. There were people on the city council. There were people that were in decision-making positions that made those decisions to close Central, to close Warrington, to close Bryant.
So we need to flip the script
and get people that are for our community and want to fight for our community. We cannot continue to be punching bag.
Or the city council during that time when Central closed down.
Shoot. I'd have to go Google it. I really would.
You want to take that or you want me to take
it? Why don't you take it? Because I don't remember. I don't even remember who the mayor was at the time. I want to say Lattimore, but is, you know.
Well, I have a vague remembrance in that the chairman of the Minneapolis schools at that time was a person that grew up in the community. And I used to talk to Mr. Edwards about that, and he wouldn't really talk to me about it because they all had grown up on North Side, and Richard Green was the superintendent of the Minneapolis schools at that time. And Sharon Sells Belton, who was a graduate of Minneapolis
Central,
was on the city council and became mayor. And so these are the things that really trouble me, and I think the caller that called in, who was, I know who that caller was. He's a former teacher in Minneapolis Public Schools. He knows a lot about the inner workings of the school.
Wow, okay.
This is what troubles me, is that why are we doing this? That's who was on, Jonathan, to answer your question, that's who I was. Richard Green was the superintendent, and I'll never forget talking to one of the last students at Central. And Don, you know the Whitlock family. You went to school with the Whitlocks.
Yep, Kevin.
Central.
Yep.
Don, you know.
Yep.
Kevin, yes. They sat there in the auditorium, and Mr. Green came to the school, and they were so excited because he was the superintendent. And he walked in and told them, we're closing your school, and walked out.
You see what you just said? They were really excited.
Mm-hmm.
And he said they're going to close. We have to now get out of this this celebrity when we see somebody come down. Like, I was on 35W Bridge, right? And my truck came through and tried to kill everybody. And we were on our way to Take a Fries. Oh my gosh, Take a Fries on his way. And I'm looking at people, are you crazy? We're not here for pictures. We're not here to get some money. We're not here to do all this. We can get some money now. Start a damn business, put some proposals and contracts in place and get you some money. But then actually fulfill the contract, the money for the money you're getting. But we see these people, I got a meeting with the mayor or the governor. Are they going to do anything?
Yeah.
That's what I told some of the families the other day. I was just talking to the Walter family, and the families were talking to them. And we're talking about reopening up the cases, but are you going to reopen up the cases, yes or no? If you're not, then it's pressure time. Come into your house.
Hey, we have a few callers that I'm going to try to get in, guys, here before, the end of the hour. So there's about four callers here. Caller, last 48435, live on the air. What's your name? And please speak up.
My name is Jay, man. Listen, I was calling to talk with Jonathan and you guys about the last caller when he said something about a police. So we didn't call it an advisory board. These are like checking a box for these police departments.
Yeah.
Listen, first the police have to come to the agreement with the community because the world is not wrong. The world is saying we're having a police problem. We have a police problem. The only people that say we don't have a police problem are police officers, right? And it's just like a crackhead, man. You want to get off drugs, but you got to admit you're addicted to crack. At some point, we have to admit that we have a policing problem. And here's the deal, Don and John. And listen, we pay for this stuff out of our own pockets. They don't ask us, can they take money out of our checks? They take it out of our checks. They stick our hand and stick their hand in our pocket and take our tax dollars. But then they tell us we can't tell them how to use it. But we don't have no say. Or they give us a 2-minute 2 minutes at the podium to talk about a proposal that's going to change lives in my community. Now, listen, we talk about, you know, there were three young men who apparently stole a car. But these young men, 12, 15 years old, crashed their car and ejected out of their car, parked all over North Minneapolis, right? You don't find something for these kids to do. They find things to do themselves. You know, idle time. You know, with the idle time, bring, you know, you best. You know, and here's the other deal. If fathers, if you don't raise your kids, the government will raise them for you. If you don't spank your kids, the police will bust them upside their head with a flashlight. So we got to start taking ownership of our own. I'm talking about fathers. We got to start taking ownership of our kids, our son. At 12 years old, man, I better not be caught outside in the stop. As a matter of fact, I'm somewhere playing baseball. Brother, at 12 years old, we're losing too many youth. Now we're not talking about police. We're talking about this straight up bogus activity. And it's fathers. It's fathers that are leaving their young men out here, man, to be scooped up by the system that chews them up and spit them out like lunch. And brother, I love y'all. Yo, I just wanted to have a conversation with y'all this morning, man. I love y'all, man, and I mean that, man. Y'all keep doing what y'all doing. Man, Jonathan and John, like, Don, you know what, man? You like the antidote to the sickness in the education system. You know what I'm saying? Because they used to beat us for if they caught us learning. Now they call us teammate guys.
Yeah,
I love you, brother. Man, keep doing what you're doing, Don. Keep your foot on the pedal. Keep doing what you're doing, Jonathan. I love you, brothers, man, and keep it moving.
Thank you. Thank you for the call, sir. Thank you. That was Mr. Jonathan Thompson running for office here in St. Paul. And if I can mark his name on the ballot, I certainly will. I'm not sure what area he's in and what area. Yeah. You know, and I'm trying to figure out if I'm in 67A. I'll do it after the show. We do have another call. And then also, Anthony asked the question about did St. Louis come back, that area from the from the past riots, and that caller is still on hold. So we'll go to him after this next caller here. Caller 816 area code. Thank you for calling Our Black News. What's your question or comment?
This is Steve from the Midwest. I had a question. I know that there's some laws that prevent it, but has there been any speculation as to who posted the bond for Derek Chauvin? And also, I had another question specifically for Jonathan. And Mr. Edwards was always concerned about the right wing and white supremacy groups in the country, and they've been showing up at protests lately. And I was wondering, have you seen any evidence of the militia showing up at any of these protests or the militia movement or anything? And I'll listen off the air. So, and you guys keep up the good work. I appreciate it. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, real quick, I get the militias. I do expect, obviously, there has been. I got a couple undercover cops. But I made a vow out of myself that we're doing it peacefully, nonviolent. They can watch me and tap my phones, do whatever they want to do because I'm doing what's right. But we have noticed that there has been an uptake in white supremacy movements trying to infiltrate us. But we do have freedom groups such as the Freedom Fighters. I have security detail. I also have a couple agents inside keeping an eye on me. We are facing those realities. And what was his first question?
Yeah, about the, you know, Mr. Edwards and he always had this conversation about the white militias here in the state of Minnesota training out. And have they shown up inside of the protests that you've led or attended? Or, I mean, are they visible? We know we have that black militia that kind of is protecting the protesters and making sure everybody's secure. But has that far right wing group of
fact that if they do come in and try to, it probably would be a shootout. I'm going to be honest. The Freedom Fighters are there. Also, I have about three or four security groups within the Minneapolis area that are black-owned and black men that are watching. We've got drones. They're watching us. So if anything were to pop off, it will be on national headline news, and I'm sure that there might be people that get killed. And, you know, God, I pray with God to protect and save. But as we ramp it up, you know,
yeah,
inevitable. You know, the hatred of white supremacy is inevitable. They're going to be upset. Oh, my gosh, in heaven, these white militias are going to – well, we just seen it the other day ago. They were trying to kidnap the governor of Michigan.
That was crazy.
That's crazy. This shit happened. We're not talking about terrorism. We're not saying nothing. This is unbelievable, and I want everybody to pay attention and share this because we're talking about it on our Black News. The state attempted to try to kidnap a local official, not a local official, a federal official.
A governor.
A governor of the state of Michigan. Unbelievable.
Yes. Yep.
And so this is what we're dealing with. So I'm thank you, CT, from the Midwest. But, yes, these militia groups, these white supremacy groups have infiltrated not only God.
That's nuts. I hope that caller, you got enough information there. That's 22 after the hour. We have right under 10 minutes here to wrap up the show. But before we wrap up the show, I like to send a message out to the Minneapolis Urban League, or the Urban League of the Twin Cities, the NAACP, Minneapolis, the NAACP, St. Paul. I promise that this is the last time that I ever mention your names on this radio broadcast program ever again in history, because you have not done what you needed to do for the Black community to help us be sustainable, healthy, housed, and employed. And your failure is tenfold on the community members here in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and your the way that you have misled, politically aligned, obstructed, hated, and just done things that you shouldn't have done is shameful. So if every time I say Jonathan and Anthony, if you hear me say the NAACP, Minneapolis, St. Paul, or the Twin Cities, or Urban League, anything, I owe you guys both $5.
Oh, I love to cash that.
Yeah.
God, I'd like to make a plea. God, I'd like to make a quick plea. God, why don't we give them one more chance? Why don't we throw a lifeline to those organizations to come on this program?
Okay. Well,
why don't we throw them a lifeline to come on the program and tell us what they're about. Tell us what we can do to help them do what they want.
Okay,
they really have a mission, and they really want to do something. All of us would help them. We would help them do what they want to do. But they haven't come up with a plan, so let's invite them.
Well, I have. Will you guys want to try? I have. Andy, you know, send them an email. See if you can set it up for next Saturday. Because as of right now, they're like, oh, well, next Friday or Saturday night, I'll probably do, you know, Lisa Delgado is also running for 59B. And I don't know if y'all know Lisa Delgado. I talked to her on the phone. She was my friend on Facebook, and I unfriended her and blocked her.
Yeah. I would love to have her, but I also have her blocked. I would love to go hard to her. I think I just unblocked her not too long ago. Me and her always get into it with words because, you know, she is pro-police. I don't mind, but you just don't do it when there's a death of a Black individual. How about Anthony?
Yeah, you know, and she's a former MP in the Army, and I know her well, but I just got, you know, like you, Jonathan, it's like if you're a strong male and you have a lot of voice, not just on Facebook because Facebook's only entertainment, but you got to walk the walk out in the street, you know, that kind of makes people kind of, you know, come at you a little bit, you know, and
yep. Oh my gosh, all the people that come in, strong Black men.
Yeah.
If you've got any sense, you're bold, speak out, you're a Black man, there's groups and packs of women, in Black women also, that attack these prominent leaders and they try to tear us down. And I won't be moved by it. And that's why I'm saying, you know, any hard feelings, Lisa, no hard feelings towards you. Much
yeah.
Come on
yeah.
the show, I would love to ask you some questions.
And then also I like to say, because I was kind of almost at the end of my rant, is that a lot of Black women are in positions to do things in this town on behalf of Black Minnesotans. And Also, there's a lot of black men that are in positions to actually pull this together. And I'm just asking you at this point, pull up some brothers and sisters around you, okay? Reach out into the community, because I'm going to tell you, we have less than a month till November 3rd, and November 4th, we have a choice of being organized or we have a choice of total chaos. And that's it. That's it. Because if Trump wins, all these people are going to be moving to Canada. Real estate is going to bottom out. I'll be able to get that 10-bedroom mansion over on Summit Avenue for $1.50, you know?
Right now, they don't want it to stop, Don, and that's why I need to be able to hold them accountable and make sure it's transparent. And so that's what we're doing on this show.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to tackle the violence. We're going to talk about what's going on within our communities. We're going to be the ones on the front line to speak out for the black community on our black.
Yeah, and I agree. Anthony, any closing comments? Where can a person pick up
Dan, I really, I know we're very frustrated with our organizations, with our supposed legacy organizations, but I still say they should be invited onto the program.
Absolutely.
I'd like to grill them. I'd like to talk to them personally about what their is.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I agree. I just, Yeah, and you know what? I'm not even going to say the names, but I've asked, you know, there's a girl that I went to Hamlin with who's the vice president of the
That's frustrating.
And she could easily come on here, but when she was running for office, I also, when Mr. Edwards was alive, I asked her to come on the show with Mr. Edwards and I, and she never had time. She was too busy, just basically like, don't even bother me. And she didn't win. And most usually when people get on the radio with us or on this show, they do pretty good in the polls, you know, except, you know, and most of the Republicans, except for the black ones. And so it's pretty interesting. But anyway, with that said, we'd like to thank everybody for listening. It's 10:29. And I'd like to thank Jonathan Mason from Mason in the Morning and Mason Live right there, who you can check out on Facebook Live and wherever else he sends his stuff to. And you have anything scheduled upcoming this week, Jonathan?
This week we will be talking and discussing about the location, the possible location change for Derek Chauvin. They're trying to actually take it out of Canopy County and put it to Pipestone, Minnesota, with Roberti that's open within the government. So if they do that, be prepared for more action around the Canopy County government.
Yeah, because you know what's going to happen? If this thing is in Pipestone, Minnesota, with a jury of his peers, he'll be walking on the beach this time next year.
Oh, he will be.
Yeah, he'll be like, you know, and with the drink with the umbrella in it, he'll be chilling like a villain. And then we have Anthony Scott there. Thank you for joining us and being here today. Any closing comments or concerns, or you just want to cuss somebody out? What's going on?
No, and again, our city is in chaos.
Yeah.
I mean, really. And now, and when there are things that are in chaos, what it is somebody needs to take the reins. And Jonathan, his organization, what we're doing here on this radio, we're willing to take these reins. We're willing because they're not doing it. They fell down. They've been abject failures from
yeah.
the city council to the mayor on down. They have supported the police. They come up with this defunding with no plan. And so we're going to have to give them a plan. And
yep.
so I think that's where we're at.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. You guys stand by for a minute. We're going to close this out with some James Brown. And it's a four-second delay, so come on, James, do it.
Put your bad stuff. Bad down.